But you know, love is deeper than an emotion. Yes. It has roots. It goes deep, amen, to the heart, the very core of our being. And hopefully that love that's flowing in us and working in us is the higher love of God's love that says, I love you irregardless of how you treat me, of whether you love me back or not. It doesn't matter. I just love you because love is in me loving you. That's the kind of love that we need to pursue, and that is the Father's heart. So we're not pursuing just another teaching. We're pursuing the God, amen, of the word, of the message. Because it's possible for us to have all kinds of information, but not have the God of that information. Not know him. I think I grew up kind of knowing about God. And I was in and out of church and in Sunday school, and I remember flannel graph Jesus. And how many remember the flannel graph, right? So Jesus was just a flannel graph Jesus, and there was a story about this guy that walked a long time ago, and he used to take sheep on his shoulders, you know, and he loved the little children. That worked for me. It's like, oh, Jesus loves me. This I know, you know, but I don't know if I really, really, really knew that. You know, we know about that. We hear about that, and we agree we assent to that. That's a good thing, that God, you know, loves me. But do we know the love of God that passes knowledge? It goes beyond information. The information and even the word, the logos, is to bring us to a revelation. We get the information so we might have a revelation that God might be revealed to us in reality, in truth. Truth is what's real, that we may encounter God, know him, and be transformed in his presence as we gaze upon him. So our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. We cannot tell his story unless we are beholding him. We are worshiping in spirit and in truth, you see. It's not just about getting more information. The information is there, kind of like the banks of a river. They kind of give us direction, they guide us, and they also protect us. Amen? And a river is an awesome thing. Amen? As long as it's within the banks. Come on, somebody. We can get, you know, into places we don't need to be because we've stepped out of the will of God or outside of his plan for us, and sometimes we're trying to help God out, you know. But God is here to help us out. And the only way we're going to get help from God is to be in agreement with him. Amen. To agree that, God, you're smarter than I am, you know better, and I just want to know you, Lord. Relationship. It's always been about that. And we're not a religious church, as you can tell. And we just want to know him. And we want to make him known. You can't make him known unless you know him. You can't reveal him unless he's first revealed to you. You can't love others with the love of the Lord until you have first received the love of the Lord. You see, there's nothing that we can really achieve with God. You don't achieve with God. All you can do is receive from God. It's by grace. See, sometimes we're striving and struggling and trying to achieve levels of whatever, you know, of maturity. But that maturity comes as we abide in the one who supplies the grace so that we can grow up in him. But we have to get beyond just getting more information. If I can just get to that conference, if I can just hear one more sermon, come on, somebody. How many here have heard literally thousands of sermons in your lifetime? Amen. How much of all those thousands of sermons have you actually retained?
Lots of notes.
You got it in your memoirs, right? Or in your book. God gives us the word so that we might know him who is the Word, the living Word. So that's what it's all about. And when you have Christ in you and He is dwelling and abiding in you and you are abiding in Him, you will automatically bear the fruit of God. You will praise Him. You will be thankful. You will love others. Amen. See, a lot of people, they've got a lot of Bible information and knowledge. And I mean, they're bibliophiles, as we say. You know, they got all kinds of information. But if you don't have the love of God, it equals zero. If you don't have the reality who is Christ in you and the relationship with Him, then it equals to nothing. Actually, it'd be good if you want to get into a debate and argue and prove how smart you are. Well, I memorized 20 verses this week. Top that. Look how spiritual I am. Oh, yeah? Well, yeah. The boasting of what one has and does, it can even apply to Christian things. Father, we just thank You today for this time, this opportunity to be here. Lord, I appreciate Your faithfulness. Lord, there's nowhere I can go but to You. I have nothing to give except what You give to me to give. So, Lord, I pray that all of us would be faithful, Lord, to give that which You've given to us, to bless others, to build others, to refresh others, to impart hope to others, Lord. Father, I ask that You continue to guide and lead and direct us this day in this service, this time we're together, that we, Lord, would continue to receive what we have need of, for the journey is great. And we know, Lord God, that soon and very soon we are going to see You in all of Your glory. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess. Thank You for allowing us to see what we can see. Understanding that we don't have it in us to even understand or comprehend. But it's by Your grace and by Your mercy that we're saved, that we can come to a knowledge, a saving knowledge of the Lord. And today, Holy Father, I pray that You would impart manna, fresh bread, Lord, to us, that we can eat and be sustained, to be strengthened. Lord, that You would lift up our countenance today, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You that the wine is flowing, hallelujah, and the joy of the Lord as You strengthen us, Lord. Just Your presence, Lord, makes us whole. So, Lord, I pray that You'll anoint our ears to hear, that You'll drive out the darkness. We say, let Yah arise and His enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. Let them flee from before Him. Hallelujah. God, we thank You. Hallelujah. Whew. Thank You, Jesus. I don't know. I just keep coming back to this old thing. I've used it before, but it's remember the song back in the day by the Birds? I was so much older then. Yeah. I'm younger than that now. Yeah. How many can identify with that and say, man, I thought I was so smart. I thought I had it in the bag. You know, even as a new Christian, you know, we can get that way. We go through stages. We're babies and we're on the bottle, and then we get to a teenage stage and we know it all, but we don't know much, you know, right? And then those older saints, they don't know. They don't got a clue, you know. As I've heard it said, too, the older I get, the smarter my parents get,
yeah.
Right? And then you wake up and you grow up and you say, you know what, I guess they did know more than I thought they did. The key here is to grow up. When we raise children, we should be raising them with the intent of, you know, having a full-grown, responsible adult someday. Amen? That can take care of themselves. So we don't want our children to always be dependent on us in the sense that, you know, they're always coming to you and having to drink from the milk. But eventually you want your children to say, hey, have you tried some Cheerios, you know? And they, you know, they say, mom, at first they're kind of like, what was that? But then they learn how to eat the more solid foods. And You know, and they start to grow by those things. So God wants us to grow up. And we, the same way we want our children to grow up, not just to grow up anyway, but to grow up to be a good person, you know, a responsible person, a reliable person, an integrous person, someone who's in, who's trustworthy, someone who is a person of their word, someone that you know you can trust, someone who you know is the same visibly as they are behind closed doors, you know, someone who thinks and says and does the same thing, that what they think and what they say and what they do is in agreement. Yeah. You know, not those people that are saying one thing but thinking something else. That's unholy. But holy is being integrated, right?
Yep.
To where my thoughts, my words, my actions are in agreement. A whole person is not scatterbrained, amen? They're not double-minded. A whole person, if, as we say, has it together. They have it together. And the only way we're going to have it together is not by trying harder, but by abiding in the one who has it together. The only way we're going to keep it together in our lives is not by trying harder to keep it together, but by abiding in the one who is together. He's the glue. He's the one that keeps us together. I think if it wasn't for the Lord, I would be in a rubber room. I would have lost my mind, amen, years ago. But God, in His grace, keeps me. Some of you may disagree with that, but God, in His grace, He keeps me. I have to rely on God. How many have ever been given a task before that was just beyond what you thought you could do? Maybe you were given an assignment, or you knew that a test was coming and the information was like really tough. You're like, wow, am I ever going to get that? Besides myself, everybody had been frustrated studying for a test, you know, and wondering. And then after you have stressed out and you have worried, but you did study and you did try, then comes time for the test and you pass the test. Sometimes with flying colors, and you're like, wow, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. But we're often challenged in life with things that are beyond our control, that are bigger than we are. We try to measure up sometimes to things that actually it's impossible for us to measure up to. When God gave us His law, the law was perfect. The law was holy. God told us what is right and what is wrong. And God said, this is my law. This is what I expect you to obey. And I'm expecting you to measure up to the requirements of this law. And so, Israel, who was given the commandments, right? The covenants, the law. They tried, many of them tried to live a perfect life, a holy life. But nobody ever achieved that. Simply by trying in their own ability to live a holy life. Because none of us have what it takes to live holy. And to keep it all together. And so God gave us His only Son as an offering to pay our debt, to fulfill the requirements of the law, so that grace and mercy could be poured out upon us and we would be empowered, enabled to rise above the world, the flesh and the devil, and live whole, integrated in Him who is whole. So the enemy is constantly trying to get us to focus in the wrong place, to shift your focus from Christ alone to self. Self-esteem, self-exaltation, self-centeredness, self-worth. These things we focus on. So that as long as I'm focusing on self as savior of self, I have fallen from grace. I'm not in grace. That's what it means to fall from grace. It means to disconnect from Him who is the supplier of all that we have need of. The one who can keep us together and hold us and sustain us through it all. Like the old song says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I've learned to depend upon His Word. That His Word is esteemed above my own. We all know that feeling of hopelessness when we've tried to achieve or to accomplish even things for God. And yet we seem to fail. We seem to do all right for a little while and then we fail. And what God is doing is He's allowing you to fail. He's allowing me to fail. So that we will learn that our sufficiency is not in me. It's not in self. But in Christ alone. Peter had to fail in order to learn the lesson. That what he thought he had, he didn't. And what he needed would be supplied by the Lord Himself and not anything he had within himself. Even the great apostle Paul himself said, I find in me that in me there is no good thing. He says, I dare not trust, myself. I put no confidence in the flesh. His confidence had to be in God and God's power, God's ability to overcome. Even to do the work that He was called to do. See, your assignment, your calling, and all of us, if we're in Christ, we have purpose. We have a destiny that God has for us. But we're not going to be able to, overcome this world. And enter into that destiny until we do what? Learn how to lean on Him. You see, the world doesn't need you and I trying to fix them. You and I know what it's like to try to fix people. And the more that we try to fix them, it seems like the worse they get. They don't grow up. They don't learn. They don't change. You just spend yourself trying to help people. Come on, somebody. Because it's not of me. It's not what I can do that can change anybody's heart. It's a work of grace. It's by the Spirit of the Lord that we are changed from glory to glory, that we are transformed. Amen. That God came to change us, to transform us, not just to add something new to the old. Amen. Not to patch us up. So God is trying to teach you and I to depend upon His ability. And we look at the example of our Lord Jesus Christ as He walked this earth and relied upon the Father for everything. He had ability to do a lot of things independently. But humility is strength under restraint. Even though Jesus could have called legions of angels to His assistance, He humbled Himself to do the Father's will. It was strength. He had great strength. Great power, but He humbled Himself. He restrained Himself from doing what His flesh wanted to do so that He would obey the Father and secure eternal salvation through the cross. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't have just a headache that day, or He didn't wake up with a bad feeling and just say, well, I'm not going to obey today because I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like denying myself. I feel like indulging myself. You're always going to feel like indulging yourself. The question is who's in charge? Who is really Lord of your life? Amen. Are you your own Lord or is Jesus Lord? We can sing Jesus as Lord, but we can live as if He's not. And in and of ourselves, we do not possess what we need, first of all, to overcome this world. Or to help anybody else. Come on, somebody. Some people are going to psychiatrists and psychologists and doctors, mind doctors. And they're going year after year after year after year after year. And they're never really getting better. Why? Because they're just as messed up as you are. If they don't have Jesus, amen, and they're not operating in the anointing of God, what they have, you don't want. What we want is what God has to supply every need, amen, by His Spirit, to impart life. And the Word of God, the truth spoken by the Spirit of the Lord, is what transforms hearts and minds. These words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God knows what we're capable of. And He'll call us to do things that to us are impossible. I can't do that. I've tried to do that. And we said, I know you can't do that. But you can do all things through who strengthens you. In other words, what God calls you to do is bigger, higher than you are, but God will supply the grace to do what He told you to do. What we need to do is believe Him and step out in faith and do exactly what He tells you to do. If He tells you to raise your rod up over the Red Sea, then listen to Him. If He tells you to fill up empty, you know, wine jars with water, then do what He says. Because He can transform it, right? Well, God will do the rest, but He looks for a people who believe Him and will obey Him and will step out in faith. Because faith always has action. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, and understand this, that Paul was very careful to not point a finger at himself and boast. The only time he boasted in the New Testament, he says, I speak as a fool, and he boasted about what he accomplished. We need to listen. We need to, amen, discover these things and say, well, am I doing that? If I am, I need to stop. I need to realize that my sufficiency is not in me. It's not of me. Apart from Him, I can do nothing. So if there's any boasting, let us boast in the Lord. Give the glory to God. Amen. Amen. By the grace of God, I am what I am. There it is. You and I today, by the grace of God, are who we are. Where we are today, where we have arrived today, and whatever accomplishments have been done in and through us, it's by the grace of God. It's by the grace that God supplies. And not because we just decided to do a lot of good things. Because people are doing a lot of good things in the world. But the question is, are they doing the right things? You can spend yourself doing good things and yet not be doing the right thing. You can spend yourself on people trying to help people, but if God is not in it, the grace of God will not be in it either. Are you hearing me? And you can burn yourself out trying to be somebody else's Savior. Because there's also that other part of us, that sinful nature, that part that needs to be esteemed. The God part of us, you know, I'm my own God. That has to have somebody to need me before I can feel important. Mm-mm. I hope I challenge our thinking today. It makes me feel superior when somebody is depending on me. Oh, child. Blah, 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 blah. You know, pride is a very subtle thing. Why do we do what we do? Are we really in this because we want to glorify the Lord out of a heart of gratitude? We want to love God back and see other people blessed, amen? Like God has blessed us. That's a good motivation. But do we want to get stuff from God? Do we want power? Do we want gifts? Do we want influence? Do we want recognition? So that somebody will think that you're somebody because you don't feel like you're somebody. And so you're looking for that to find some kind of value. You feel valuable when somebody is needing you. Eros love is that love, feeling of love. Got to have the feeling of love. I have to feel needed. Are you hearing me, somebody, today? But Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. He came to give His life away. Agape is unidirectional. It is just God loving us. The unworthy, really. And yet God saw value. Do I measure up to God's expectation? How many here believe that you measure up to God's expectation? Now, that may be a loaded question, so don't raise your hand. Be very careful. Do you understand? Hear this today. Jesus measured up for you. He measured up for us. We are desperate. We are beggars in a sense where, oh God, I need you. God, I need grace. God, I need help. Oh, you Christians, you just need a crutch. Well, if you're crippled, get yourself a crutch. Amen? The problem is that some people don't realize they're crippled and others do. Some people know they're a mess and other people don't. And that's why the Word came in, amen? To get the self-righteous to realize they're not all that. They're not righteous apart from Him. Nobody was able to live up to the full expectation of the law, amen? So Jesus measured up for us. And now the grace of God is being poured out upon the hungry, the thirsty, those who are poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom. Why? Because they are in a place where they know I need Him. That's a good place to be. Peter didn't really know that he needed Jesus yet. Peter was given an assignment. Peter knew, you know, I'm supposed to be serving the Lord. And Peter didn't realize, though, that in himself, he didn't have what was necessary to do what he was called to do. So God is bringing you and I into the place where we realize that we don't have what it takes to do what God has called us to do, so that we will come to Him for help. We will come before the Father's throne of grace. And we'll receive all that we have need of, freely given, lavished upon us. So not only do we have everything that we have need of, but we can also be an overflowing cup that will also supply grace to others that are around us. That's ministry. Ministry is not me trying to fix you. Ministry is being a vessel that God works through. You can be ministering to people if you're overflowing in the Holy Spirit. You can walk into a room and the atmosphere will shift. And you'll get all kinds of reactions, some not so nice. You'll wonder why these people don't like me. It's not them, it's the devils that don't like you. They're intimidated, folks, by the Spirit of God. Oh, they try to tell people they're not, but they are. They're shaken. Now, on the other hand, are you ready? Are you doing okay with this today? Here's another perspective on this. Sometimes people mistakenly believe that walking in grace means not working at all. It is by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest anyone should boast. So some people think that walking in grace or walking in the Spirit means I don't do anything. I just believe. Now, listen to what Paul said. He said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, the Apostle Paul demonstrated by his life and example that he did not receive the grace of God in vain. Do you understand? You can receive from God in vain. We can be coming to God and asking God and begging God for this and for that and yet receive it in vain because what we receive, we don't share. We don't give. We don't impart. Do you have a gift? The gift is not just for you, it's for somebody else. So there are those who just, they're ever learning, they're ever receiving, but they're not giving. So they're receiving the grace of God in vain. How many would agree with me that God will open doors of opportunity for you daily if you're paying attention? And you are alive as long as you're moving with Him who is alive. And that means that I have to dispatch, I have to release what God has put in me. You got to let the damn door down, amen? You got to open that baby up. And then many times that means open up your mouth. And it begins with just opening this thing up here and saying, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And begin to shift the atmosphere in your own heart, but also around you. Open up the gates, the praise gates. The King of Glory may come in. Open your mouth and I will fill it. It's true, folks, that God has given us a tremendous responsibility as ambassadors, representatives of Him. And what we're called to do is impossible apart from His ability. So we first need to learn and understand who we are in Christ, what we've been called to do, and then we need to start activating by faith. Elisha had to take up the mantle of Elijah. Taking up the mantle was not enough. You remember when Elijah went up into the heavens in a whirlwind, remember? In the chariot of fire and the mantle fell, which represents His call, the power of God, amen? He took it up, but He didn't stop there. Elisha then took the mantle and did what? He struck the water. He activated by faith what God had promised him. And as a result, the waters did what? They parted. There was a manifestation because of his obedience. See, faith is more than just intellectually agreeing with something. If you really believe God, then you will act upon what you believe. If you believe your car is going to start, then you can sit in your car all day long and say, I just believe this car is going to start. I don't know when it's going to start, but one of these days it's going to start. That would be ridiculous, but that's what it's like, folks. It's God says, activate, strike the water, speak to the mountain.
Turn the key.
Turn the key. I've given you the keys of the kingdom. Use them. So, true faith has works. You have been called to serve the Lord. You and I have been called to serve Him. We weren't called to be an observer. We weren't called to sit and watch somebody else serve Jesus. We were called to be a co-laborer together with Christ and His body to build His kingdom. We're working on the ark. Amen? We're building up the ark because there's coming a day when the Lord is going to close the door. And you know the ones who are inside, remember, they're the ones who are working. They were the ones who were about the Father's business. They were the ones who went on board the ark. All the laborers together, and there's only eight in that entire world, they were aboard the ark. I wonder how many just sat around and watched them build. Man, that's a really cool looking boat you got there. Let's marvel at the boat. And then, of course, you had those that mocked. We know most of the world mocked, and they're going to mock you. They're not going to understand, why are you denying yourself all these worldly, wicked pleasures, sensual pleasures? Why aren't you running like we are? Well, I was so much older then. I grew up. I woke up. I woke up out of a slumber, out of a deep sleep. And the light of Christ shone in my heart, and I understood that I was a wretched sinner in need of mercy. And I cried out to God, who alone could save. And Jesus broke through, amen, the veil of my heart and saved me and turned the light on. And now I see things from a different perspective.
Thank you, Lord.
Me too. Thank you,
God. It wasn't that I'm better than anybody. I'm just different now. We're a peculiar people. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Now, listen to Moses when God called Moses. Exodus 4:10. Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent." Remember, God called Moses to do what? To deliver the children of Israel, right? Out of Egypt. So Moses comes with the excuse, "Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent." You know, we do this with God sometimes. We explain to God why we can't do what he told us to do. Now, if God, like he didn't know. He says, "I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Now, the New Living Translation puts it this way. "Oh, Lord, I'm not very good with words." Has anybody ever said that before? "I never have been, and I'm not now. And even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled." Said Moses was a stutterer. And what he said is, "What you're asking me is too high for me. What you're asking of me is too high." What did God say? Well, okay. No. Verse 11, he said, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, and seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." What did Moses have to do? He simply had to go. What was the action? Go. Step out. Activate your faith in what you just heard. Believing that if God called you to do something, even though humanly it was impossible, he had to trust that God was going to back up his word and he was going to supply the power, the ability for him to accomplish what he told him he was supposed to do. Do you understand? Some Christians, they play it safe. They live their whole life in just a predictable place. That's not faith at all. Faith is getting out of the boat like Peter and getting out on the water. "I've never walked on water before, but God told me to come out onto the water to meet him. And so I'm going to obey him because somehow he knew that God was able to do it." And we all know the story. We all criticize Peter, but I wonder how many of us would have looked at the wind and the waves once we get out there and said, "Oh man, what have I done?" You know. But God was teaching Peter to depend upon him, to trust in his ability, his grace to do what was humanly impossible. What we're called to do is humanly impossible. Now, there are many people, even in churches, that have learned how to play church so effectively that they're doing all kinds of activity. Come on, somebody. But it's really void of substance or power, because what we're called to do is beyond human capability. We cannot preach effectively without the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. The power of God. We cannot heal the sick except that the Lord intervenes. We can't cast out devils unless the Lord is on the scene. We have to depend on the Spirit of the Lord. How about Isaiah? God called Isaiah in chapter 6 of Isaiah, verse 5. "I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of what? Unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips.' He said, 'I have a filthy mouth, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" He was undone. He was just wrecked in God's presence. And he says, Woe is me. And what he was saying is, I'm so unworthy. When he saw God's holiness and the contrast between who he was and who he was, he says, man, I am undone. I'm unworthy. Truth was, he wasn't worthy. But what did God do? God qualified Isaiah for the task. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, verse 6, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Amen. We can't save ourselves. He needed God's intervention. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who, what, will go for me? Then I said, here am I. Send me. So the first reaction to God's holiness was Isaiah felt unworthy. But then God steps in and qualifies him for the task. Moses was called to be the deliverer. And he knew that he couldn't speak very well. So what did God do? Well, God had to provide somebody else because he kept arguing with God, didn't he? He provided Aaron. But God was able and willing to supply all that he had need of if he would simply trust him and say, well, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work, but you're calling me to take your people out of Egypt. I'll go. And all he had to do is step out and go. You see, that's the same thing for us. If you want to come alive spiritually, you really want to get on fire for God, start stepping out of the boat with God. Step out, amen. Get out on the water where Jesus is at and watch God do miraculous things through your life. Amen. If God is telling you, you need to give up this thing, maybe you're having a problem with an addiction. Well, you know what? God is bigger than that addiction. The devil tells you it's too big for you. It's too impossible for you. But God says, oh no, nothing is impossible with me. My grace is more than enough. Amen. How big is your God is the question. Is God bigger than the addiction? Is God weak? Then God is able. If we obey and take the step of faith and say, I refuse to bow down to any other gods. I will not serve this thing anymore. I'm going to serve the living God. And my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. God is more than able. Hallelujah. Oh God, thank you so much, Lord. See, in both cases here, these guys, they didn't measure up to the task. It was greater than them. And you know, isn't it true that sometimes we feel, in order for me to be able to serve God, I have to measure up to the task. Some Christians, they're in church for decades. They're in church waiting for the golden moment when they are perfect enough to get busy for Jesus. Isn't it something? How many disciples were Jesus with 3 years? Amen? In his ministry. But before Jesus left, he started giving them hands-on training. He started sending them out. Amen? To preach the kingdom, to cast out demons, to heal the sick. He sent them out. What did they have to do? They just had to go. They had to go with the confidence to know that my commander-in-chief, he has appointed me, he has anointed me, he has dispatched, he's got my back. If he told me to say something and I say it, it's going to have effect. Hallelujah. If he tells me to do something and I do it, he's going to back it up. Amen. And as they stepped out, they began to see the miracles of God. And they came back rejoicing. Lord, even the demons are subject in your name. He says, don't rejoice in this. Rejoice, your name is in heaven. That you belong to me. This is normal Christianity. This should be a normal way of life for us. Everywhere we go, we are an expression of God's heart. Amen? We love people. We serve. We bless. We don't curse. Amen? We do what he tells us to do. We say what he tells us to say. We pray what he tells us to pray. We come into agreement with harmony with the Father's will. And as we are walking in communion with Jesus, then we will dispatch. Amen. We will release the kingdom. and people will be changed. Hallelujah. It's not of us. It's bigger than you are. What God's calling you to do is much bigger than you, but God will give you the grace, the ability to do the impossible. How many are game? How many are saying, that's God, here am I? How many are in agreement with Isaiah? He's saying right now, he's saying, who will go? Who will go for me? Will you step out? Will you prepare yourself? Will you be equipped? And will you begin to step out? And will you begin to practice? Put into practice what I've taught you. That's why I like the glory tent, because we get to practice out there, right? And the more that you do it, the more you learn God's voice and His strategies and His ways. But there's so many ways that we can express the Father's heart. You know, through intercession and praying, God will put people on your heart. You pray, amen. God receives that as worship. Thank God we have people that pray. Sometimes God calls us out on the water. He calls us to go into places that humanly it's impossible for me to be. I'm not qualified. I'm not enough for this, God. But God says, don't you worry about it. I've made your mouth. I can fill your mouth. I can put words in your mouth. Just open your mouth for me and I'll fill it. Well, Lord, I can't heal anybody, I know, but I'll heal through you if you will step out in faith and you lay hands on the sick. Well, Lord, this problem I'm dealing with is so big. Well, is it too big for God? Is anything too big for God? Is that addiction too big for God? Absolutely not. If you're dealing with an addiction today, I want to encourage you to come down and we want to pray and break that thing. God will break it off of you. I believe that. He's got power, amen? Enough power to break any chain. Hallelujah. Whatever you're struggling with today, it doesn't have to be an addiction. You need prayer today for anything. I want you to come down and we want to pray for you. We want to believe God today for your freedom. Amen. God has come that you might be set free. God wants to free the captive. Hallelujah. And we're all in this together. Ain't none of us have arrived yet. We're all somewhere along the path. So don't feel like you're going to be singled out. Amen. But we have to humble ourselves. And we have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and then He will lift you up. He will break the chains. He will set you free. So God wants you free today. He doesn't want you leaving the same way you came. Amen. Maybe you heard something today. God has stirred your heart. God has drawn your heart. You know that God wants you to fully surrender, fully commit your life to the Lord. If you're here today, and I want you to do something really bold. You say, I really want to commit my life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you just need to recommit your life to Jesus Christ today. I want you to do it and make a bold stand right now and do it in the presence of others. Amen. God will see that. God will recognize it. And God will bless you for your faithfulness to His voice today. If you're here and you say, I really want to give my life back to God, come on down right now. Just stand up here. Somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't pretend. Amen. Don't pretend. Time of pretending is over. I want to commit my life to Jesus Christ. Father God, we just thank you right now for the power of your Spirit to break every chain, every yoke. Somebody else, you're here today. You need to give your life, recommit your life to Jesus. You need to go all the way. Some of you are kind of in that place of in between. I'm sort of there and I'm sort of not. The only way you're going to come free and the only way you're going to have the blessing of God is to step over that threshold and let God have the whole package. Are you willing to give Jesus your life today? You're here today. You're not saved. Come on down and give your life to Jesus Christ. Amen. If you were to die today, do you know where you're going to be? Let's do it today. Amen. Let's humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you right now for the power of your Holy Spirit. God, I thank you that you're with us. And I thank you that you're for us. And I thank you, Lord God, that the anointing is here to destroy the yoke. And Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we take authority over every demon and every devil and every oppressor in this place. In Jesus' name, Satan, we bind you up right now and all of your demons in the authority of Jesus Christ. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. We command you to take your hands off God's people. And right now, Father, we release the fire of the anointing, the Holy Spirit upon the folks today, Lord, to heal and to set free. In Jesus' name, we break the yoke. We break the yoke. Today, it's broken in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.